With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Woo! Wednesday on B&E. Saw this morning where Austin Energy says currently 99.57% of all customers have power back.
There you go.
But there are still 423 active outages. There's 423 places with going on their eighth day of no power.
Man.
But most of them fixed, and that's a good thing. We're back at it. Rain this morning, and hopefully overnight, you know, had that storm move through, and there were some straight line winds. I know there were fears of like some loose branches maybe coming down, causing more issues. I'm not sure that ever happened, but looking better. But boy, man, if you're on your eighth day with no power, you are beyond frustrated. We're also talking LeBron James and the scoring mark that was broken last night in the NBA. Also, you know, caught up in the LeBron thing is that Kyrie Irving had a press conference yesterday in Dallas, Buck, and he's ready to join the Mavericks.
He and Luka going to play at the same time? Are they waiting to do that together? Is that what the deal is?
Is Luka healthy too? That's also the question too. But yes, I mean they made that move, and I mean obviously the conversation is it was a deal they couldn't pass up. They had to at least show Luka Doncic they're trying to acquire, help for him and acquire that next star. Mark Cuban, really, since he blew up the team after they won the championship with Dirk Nowitzki, you know, the free agent destination of Dallas has never really blossomed, right? It's never you almost have to trade for it. You almost have to trade for, and they did that with who's the big dude from the Knicks, the 7'3" guy,
Porzingis.
Kristaps Porzingis. They tried to make that the next guy, and it didn't work. And now it's going to be Kyrie Irving at least for half a season now. Coming in, but we'll try to hear some of his comments. Also, bottom of our hour, we're going to talk to Jerry Hamilton from Inside Texas, get his thoughts on these Texas football developments. The 25th and final high school recruit committed yesterday, and Warren Roberson, who is from Red Oak, Texas, finally was able to get back into school and have a signing ceremony because the school was closed all last week with the ice storm. So he finally commits to Texas. We'll get a scouting report from Jerry and on the report at Inside Texas this morning that the sophomore-to-be wide receiver Savion Redd going to move to running back, and we'll talk to Jerry about that.
I like that move early in his career to do that and not figure out why he's a junior or senior if he's a fit for the wide receiver position at this present time with the talented kids that they have right now. Yeah. It's good to make that move.
Well, it makes sense in that we'll get Jerry's thoughts on it because I know he saw Savion play in high school. But in high school at Grand Prairie, he was quarterback. And he was kind of a Swiss Army knife, did everything. Yeah. And he ran more than he threw. So he's got the natural running skills.
Sure.
And his move to receiver here was, they recruited him as an athlete. I mean, he's just an athlete. We're going to find a spot for him. And, you know, first year was wide receiver because they needed depth out there. And he cracked the rotation a little bit, got some catches. But now it looks like maybe the more natural position for him is going to be that running back room with Tashard Choice, and so we'll talk to Jerry about both of those things, plus some Longhorn hoops with the Horns through that four-game gauntlet for Rodney Terry, and now looking for home cooking on Saturday against West Virginia. We'll preview that game coming up. Also, Craig Way has his report. As we mentioned in our next hour, top of it, we'll have Brian Billick from Radio Row, our first Radio Row conversation. Brian Billick from the convention center there in Phoenix getting ready for Super Bowl 56. Or 57. 57.
57. Buddy. I'm Missed excited one. About this one.
Yeah, you'll be tuned in. This is one of the better, at least on paper, Super Bowls we've seen in a little bit. They're all good, but man, to have the two top seeds, number one seeds. Both teams are 16-3 on the season. You know, both teams really dominated their regular seasons in their conference. You have the 1-2. I think when the MVP is announced, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes followed by Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's going to be 1-2 and MVP. You got the number one sack team in the league against the number with the number two sack team in the league. Both teams have excellent offensive lines. Both teams have great coaching staffs. I mean, it's there's a lot. There's not a lot not to like about this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, if Kansas City can hold up their end of the bargain on defense, this will be a really exciting, really close matchup, I believe.
Let me correct myself. I said that Chris Jones was climbing the all-time postseason sack ladder. It's actually Frank Clark, his teammate, that is up to like 13 career postseason sacks. He's the one. I think Willie McGinnis is the leader right now, all-time postseason sacks with 16. But, yeah, Frank Clark is coming. So it's not just Chris Jones. It's Frank Clark. And both teams can throw tremendous
passes. And D. Ford is no longer with them.
No, they traded D. Ford.
Yeah, he didn't die, but he's not with that group.
He was. Remember, he was the guy that lined up offsides.
Oh, come on, D.
You know,
that cost me. Gave Brady an extra play.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about that. If D. Ford doesn't line up offsides in that AFC Championship game in frigid conditions in Kansas City,
they're in another Super Bowl.
They're in another Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes would be in what, his third or fourth already in his 5 years as a starter, and that really is what the Eagles have to contend
with. And nobody
made
him jump. He lined up offsides.
Oh, yeah. He lined up offsides. And if you remember, that game ended up going to overtime.
Oh, man.
But on the play that D. Ford lined up offsides, Tom Brady threw an interception. And the game would have been over at that point.
Yes,
it would have never gone to overtime.
That's right.
But, of course, the interception was called back because D. Ford lined up offsides.
Man.
Uh-oh, this says E. Hogan. This is going to be the worst Super Bowl ever. I'm so glad I don't have to watch the scripted trash. Okay. Yeah, there are those who believe it's scripted. I'm not one of them.
Like the whole game?
Yeah. Well, because
really?
Bengals-Chiefs game was scripted.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, okay. I think Arian Foster, too, the former Texans running back, is making some allegations about the script.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, well, you know what? It's your choice. It's free country.
That's right.
I will be watching. You will be watching and eating devil's egg.
Absolutely.
Egg. You know, I take heat all the time. Can I read you an email that we got when we were talking about the Grammys the other day, when Willie Nelson, Bonnie Raitt, Ozzy Osbourne all won Grammy Awards? Look at this. This is what we got, Buck. I'm getting sick of sent through our boss to the top. Like, this went to the top. I'm getting sick of your on-air DJs thinking the Grammys were good. If that's the case, does the Horn FM worship Satan? Arian Hogan and Bucky seem to think it was good. They admitted it. We must worship Satan. So there you go.
No, I do not worship Satan.
And you didn't watch it?
No, and I didn't watch it.
I did. I enjoyed it. Let's get to your headlines trending. By the way, we appreciate all the contributions to the program from the fans.
Sometimes.
Let's get to the headlines. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bring you the news. Yeah, NBA historic night in L.A. last night. And anticipated, LeBron James had an opportunity to crack and become the leading scorer in the league all time, and he did just that. He is now the most prolific scorer in the history of the NBA. Did it late in the third quarter. Here is the call on TNT.
Looking for James. He's got it. Coming to the end of the third quarter. LeBron James, a shot at history.
There it was on TNT last night. The kid from Akron, Ohio, once labeled the chosen one on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16, completed a step-back jumper to put his career total to 38,388 points. It breaks the record of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that had held for nearly 39 years. Kareem was courtside to witness and congratulate LeBron afterwards, so was his family. And it was a star-studded crowd to see the record broken. By the way, Lakers lost the game 133-130 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. In college basketball last night, the only Big 12 game saw Kansas State roll past TCU 82-61. College Station, Aggies beat Auburn 83-78. College high school hoops, about the big game of the night. Westlake top Buta Johnson 58-55. They move into a tie atop District 26-6A. You get more on that over at flexatx.com. Texas football, we mentioned we're going to talk to Jerry Hamilton coming up on the latest recruit for the Longhorns and the report that Savion Redd, the running back, the wide receiver, moving to running back. In the NFL, it is reports this morning the Vegas Raiders have given quarterback Derek Carr permission to visit with New Orleans Saints officials about a potential trade. Raiders need to cut or trade the 31-year-old before next Wednesday, or a over $40 million guarantee will go fully guaranteed on his contract, so they're going to make that happen. Also yesterday, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers revealed during his weekly visit on the Pat McAfee show that he plans to make a final decision on his football future after he takes a four-day darkness retreat that he plans to take after the Super Bowl.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Start 2023 off right and save money on last year's Steel, Toro, and Hustler equipment still in stock this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Yeah, I'm not a devil worshiper. I still have my crucifix on right now, E. Still right there.
I'm certainly not.
Always have had one. Always will have one.
Call me a devil worshiper on my mother's birthday?
What's wrong with you people? Come on.
Come on, man.
I don't know any of those signs or any of that other stuff that you people do deep dives into. That or sounds or whatever it is. I mean, I only remember the Beatles, you know, playing certain songs backwards that indicated something back in the good old days, you know? I don't know about all these, what all these emblems or everything else that people do or what they see when they watch shows. I don't really pay attention to that.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I should. Maybe I should get a list of those. That means that. That means that.
Well, we'll work.
I'm kind of old enough to at 68. 67 to make up my own mind on what I hear and what I think.
Agreed.
I can do that.
Agreed.
I think I've earned that right.
Agreed. And the devil worshiping will continue in our 9 o'clock hour because Tom Gimbel will be with us from the live music update. And of course, he was in LA for the Grammy, so he was really worshiping because he was there.
He was there.
All the parties.
Oh!
Yeah. And so we'll get an eyewitness account of the performances and what really stood out to Tom Gimbel. Of course, his coworker there at ACL TV, Terry Lacona, produces that show and is a big part of the production team that makes that happen every year, the biggest night in music, or as our emailer says, devil worshiping. Uh-huh. Somebody asked what the size of Savion Redd is. We're going to talk to Jerry Hamilton about it. He's 5'10". The Longhorn roster lists him at 5'10", 210. And if you saw him last year wearing number 17 as a wide receiver, he's a stockier kid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not like...
He's like Quan was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good comparison as far as body type.
Yeah.
And, you know, Quan Cosby. And he's like you know, we know Xavier Worthy is, you know, very slim, you know, sinewy.
He's slimmer than he says he is. I know that.
You know, Jordan Whittington's kind of a bigger guy, too, and he's probably taller. But Savion mm-hmm. Redd is stocky. He's 5'10", 210. Probably could get him as a running back up to 215. And, you know, the fact that he was more of a runner than a thrower in high school, you kind of can see why this has happened. We'll talk to Jerry. It also speaks to the depth they've added at the receiver position. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you've added A.D. Mitchell. You're going to get Isaiah Nair back healthy from his knee injury, the Wyoming transfer a year ago. You also have Xavier Worthy. You've got Jordan Whittington. You've added Jonte Cook and Ryan Niblett as freshmen. I mean, you've got dudes that can make things happen out there. So
yeah, you need four or five. You need at least five of those guys at wide receiver position because you know at any given time, one is going to be hurt and one is going to be lame a little bit. They're going to be banged up.
Well, yeah,
an ankle or, you know, those type
position.
Of things.
It's
yeah.
football. It's football. And I think the Longhorns really struggled this year when Isaiah Nair got hurt. They had a plan for...
I know the expectations were very high.
And they really... He was going to be that, you know, take the top off the defense kind of big play receiver, big tall guy, catch radius, 6'3", and, you know, play, you know, on the outside and, you know, Jordan Whittington and Xavier Worthy. And, you know, so there are some that would contend that was when Xavier Worthy started to struggle because when Nair went down... They really didn't have a third receiver, and they were using, you know, Worthy on a lot of those deep routes and a lot of the fly routes instead of just those little underneath things in the quick game. But we'll see. I mean, now you have options. And A.D. Mitchell, I mean, it's this transfer portal thing. You're bringing in a guy who may immediately become your best receiver. I mean, you hear the promo running with Jeff Howe talking about contested catch rate that he dove into at Georgia. I mean, this is a guy that will go up and win one-on-one battles. This is a guy that... You know, he's not going to drop balls like we saw Texas doing all the time last year. He's going to go win those one-on-one battles. And he's tall, and he's got great athleticism. So with he and Nair, you have two guys that maybe can win in those one-on-one situations with Quinn Ewers putting it up there. And you have Jatavion Sanders, who's a great big target at tight end. So you've got a nice mix. And we'll ask Jerry about that coming up. And how, if there's a freshman, we know when we're talking about these freshmen that are coming in here and are already here, Arch Manning, Cedric Baxter Jr., Anthony Hill at linebacker.
I need a little teeny one that can go through the defense on, as a
Cook.
Wide receiver.
Jontae Cook.
Catch and run.
There's two, Ryan Niblett and Jontae Cook. Both are that type of player.
Yes.
And will either of them, can they have an immediate impact? We'll ask Jerry that question. He's seen all those guys. We also have LeBron James. Talked about it all morning. What a performance, what a record. Say what you want about LeBron, but... the most hyped athlete of all time, arguably, has lived up and surpassed the hype. And he's done it without much,
for sure.
He's not perfect, but he's been a pretty good person off the field, or off the court for his entire career. And now here he is in Los Angeles going past Kareem. And am I right on this? Because I saw Kareem, I remember when he broke the record, I was 11 or 12 years old. And I remember that night when he skyhooked his way past Wilt Chamberlain to become the all-time scoring leader. But that was a team with the Lakers where he was still a big part of it, but obviously Magic Johnson and James Worthy.
Yeah, he had a pretty good cast around him.
Yeah, I mean, he was a part of that deal, but Magic and Worthy.
And Kareem was going to get his no matter what, whether he stayed with the Bucks. He was going to get his.
No, he was amazing.
Yeah.
But here's why I would compare LeBron to Kareem, right? Different positions and different players. But just like LeBron was the chosen one at 16, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came into this league as Lew Alcindor with a lot of pressure
because
he was at Power Memorial and the greatest high school player of all time and so much hype. He went and played for the legendary John Wooden at UCLA and won all the championships. So when he came in the league, there was a lot of pressure and a lot of hype. And he played so long, and kind of like LeBron, he was so front and center in the media and in your center of attention that, yeah, they become unlikable for some people. They say things in politics and they do things ways people don't agree with. And Kareem was that way too, right? He was pretty outspoken. People didn't think that he was, he took some stances on things. And so, when we talk about greatest players of all time, sometimes people don't even mention Kareem. And I'm always like, really? I mean, he's the all-time scoring leader. He was the best high school player ever. He's the best college player ever. What do we need here? Why isn't he in this same conversation along with the greats of all time? Now, he is, but you know what I mean, with Jordan and...
Oh, absolutely.
But I think LeBron's that too, because there's a lot of people that don't like LeBron James, just like there are a lot of people that didn't like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, even though they were unbelievable players. And to see them embrace last night and congratulate one another, that was pretty cool.
I mean, there are people that don't like Tom Brady. We still hear that. I mean, it's
and I think a lot of that
when you're in the limelight, when you're in the public eye, and if you're a sports fan and you claim that you know about all of this about sports, this sport, that sport. I'm a historian on sports and all that stuff. I mean, there are very few real historians on sports.
Correct.
There are few and far between Craig Ways out there.
Well,
are historians on.
But I do think
most sports,
just the fact that they are in the limelight and in our public conscience for so long. I mean, since he's 16 years old, people know who LeBron James is. Since kind of like Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods was so omnipresent. But
you wanted him to speak on everything when that wasn't his personality.
Right. And you still have people who didn't like Tiger Woods for whatever reason, right? And it's just the way that goes. And here, Tom Brady the same way. I mean, it's hard to, Deflategate and some other things with Tom Brady, but he did things the right way for a long, long time. He's the greatest of all time. And I think, the two conversations together, Tom Brady and LeBron, because Tom just retired and now LeBron breaks the record, they're similar that way. That they've just been doing it at such a high level for so long. It does come with.
I just love the fact that they're incredible records, and when we think that that record won't be broken, all of a sudden, bang, it is. I mean, it just moves right along. Those records are going to be broken by whoever the next king is, whoever the next
Well, this one stood for almost 40 years, and it may be 40 more, may never be broken with load management and the way games are played and.
Who knows? I mean, there may be a 4-point play line coming up soon.
Right.
I mean, that's how history, that's how sports goes.
But
things
kinda,
change.
Kind of just like the Brady conversation of last week, Tom Brady went to 10 Super Bowls. He won 7 of them. LeBron went to 10 finals and won 4 of them. 4 finals MVPs for LeBron. He's an 18-time All-NBA player.
Yeah, when I hear that from people and they say it'll never happen, another quarterback will never have 7 Super Bowls, how the hell do you know that? I mean,
Mahomes.
What is it that you see? What is it that you know that we don't know that is going to happen in time? You can make those. I mean, you can say that, but.
Well, I know one record that will never be broken. That's Nolan Ryan's strikeout record. Never. Ever. Ever.
Ever, ever, ever.
Ever. I mean, these dudes don't even pitch five innings anymore. Come on, man. They're not getting to Nolan. To
and it's not
Nolan.
Going backwards.
No.
Or they start pitching
right.
more.
And you could argue that this one won't either because LeBron's going to keep playing for a couple more years. He'll be over 40,000
points.
Oh, yeah,
points the fact that
done.
That guy could play five more years with
right.
his body.
And leave it at a number. And for Brady and Super Bowls, do we get to 10? You know, Patrick Mahomes is playing in his third and his fifth year. He's only 27 years old, so he's a name to put out there, along with Andy Reid, that could make plenty of runs. But, yes, I mean, both of those have set such a high bar that it's going to be unmatched in a lot of ways. We'll come back. We'll take
I mean,
your
people
thoughts.
Get mad at the records. I like them. I like when they're broken. I think
oh,
it's
sure.
cool to have somebody break it. I'm not going to get mad at them and try to break them down and why they're this or why they're that. The record is what he did in basketball. It's not what he did in – record isn't what he did in politics or who he voted for or who he thought about. I mean, the record is for basketball.
Cal Ripken Jr.'s record will never be broken. That's true. They don't do consecutive games much anymore.
Man.
No doubt about that. We'll be back. Jerry Hamilton will jump in, get a quick thought with him from inside Texas on the latest and final Longhorn High School recruit for the class of 23 and the Savion Red move, plus from Texas Hoops.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Manny on the Horn, Craig Way with his report coming up. And Vic Schaefer last night with the Texas women over at Pluckers. We'll hear more from Craig on that. Also, salacious gossip, your blitz before the top of the hour. And then the 9 o'clock hour, very busy as well. We've got our first Radio Row conversation live with Brian Billick, the Super Bowl winning coach, Baltimore Ravens, now doing great TV analysis. His thoughts on this Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. As we said, Tom Gimbel will have the live music update. But more than that, he's back from the Grammys. He'll give us a full rundown of what went on there. All right, so a lot going on. LeBron passes Kareem on the NBA's career scoring list. We've got Longhorns in on the brain. Texas basketball with West Virginia tomorrow night, which we're cranking up for. Also, Derek Carr going to visit the Saints. Talk to the Saints about a trade. You liked that earlier.
I do.
That's a wide-open division, to say the least. And, you know, obviously the Tom Brady retiring. You got Carolina, Atlanta, Saints, and Buccaneers. Who's the favorite there? I mean, if Derek Carr lands there, maybe the Saints are back right in the conversation with Dennis Allen.
Well, I mean, little Petey Carmichael can't wait to have a guy like Derek Carr his quarterback.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator there. And, yeah, still have a good defense. Still have Chris Olave as a rookie.
Man.
And what they're doing, but and again, the Raiders, you had to come up with the compensation to acquire Derek Carr before they'd let you talk to him. So clearly, the Saints and the Raiders have come to some type of agreement on what it's going to take to get him. So that could happen pretty quickly. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Always like talking Texas football, basketball, anything with our buddy Jerry Hamilton of Inside Texas and On Three Sports. Jerry, how are you, and where are you coming to us from? You sound like you're on the road somewhere.
Shoot, I'm in the Houston area. I was out at Oak Ridge yesterday hitting a couple of just area schools, and I'll get back on the road a little bit in the southeast region here at the last part of February.
Hey Jerry, the high school coaches, are they like now it's, you know, it's basketball season. Some of their kids are playing basketball on some of these teams. Are they heavy into what they do? I know it's high school football in the state of Texas, but are they heavy into their football work right now, getting ready for spring ball?
Oh, absolutely. They started back up, you know, mid-January after the holidays. And, yes, they're very much in it. You know, Oak Ridge was spirited, very competitive, had tug of war around their, you know, their a lot of their agility work yesterday. So, yeah, no, the Texas high school coaches are back at it. They're ready for spring football. You know, they take some time in January because all the foot traffic coming through with the college coaches.
Sure.
So much going on. But these guys are back at it now preparing for spring football. And here's the reality. I think more than ever you have to be now. There's so much individualized training. So many kids are moving around. That these high school coaches have, you know, player development at a young age, athletic development at a young age is more emphasized than it ever has been.
Now, and Jerry, the coaches' convention, are they still going and getting thoughts from other coaches all over? Or are they still meeting with each other and getting things done and exchanging some ideas at some times? Or are they keeping a bunch of ideas to themselves?
I think a little bit of both. Obviously, I think depending on how much success you've had, if you've had a lot of success, you might want to keep those a little close, right? And you don't want to share all your secrets, but yeah, nothing's changed on that end. I mean, I think that's what makes Texas high school football so great is the level of coaching is unparalleled around the country. Texas has the best setup, the athletic period, the Friday night experience, and the coaches that they all have that camaraderie. They all have, they all love each other as Texas high school coaches. So there's a lot of idea sharing, but there's also some that's close to the vest, as it should be.
Yep.
Hey, Jerry, you were at Red Oak High School yesterday. I saw over the declaration and the signing by Warren Roberson. It's a guy you talked about last week that you said you think is going to go to Texas. He came in with a TCU jacket on, but took the jacket off, and it was a burnt orange polo. To give our audience a scouting report on what the Longhorns are getting in their 25th commitment of the 2023 cycle.
Very physical safety. He's a kid, to me, that plays a little faster than he would time at a combine, an Under Armour combine, or some testing, because he plays with such physicality and aggression. He just sticks that foot in the ground with a purpose. And that's the first thing you see from him when he plays the run. He's a strong kid. He's 6 foot, 190 pounds. He'll be a 200-pound kid, perfectly proportioned. But what he adds to that, and he may have a tad bit of hip stiffness at times. I mean, we got to say none of these guys are perfect players, right? So he does show a little bit of that. But what he has with that downhill physicality, he also has wide receiver ball skills. This is a kid that plucks the ball in the air with the arms extended, very well for a defensive back. It's almost like a wide receiver playing safety, and I think that's what makes him so attractive to a Texas, to a TCU, to a USC. He could have gone to Florida. He could have gone to Tennessee. He's the number 270th ranked prospect in the country, so he is one of the elite safeties in the country. But it's that ball skills with the physicality that gives him a chance to be a really good player, and he's played great competition. Coming up, you know, he played against one of the top juniors in the country, Micah Hudson, Bryant Wesco at Midlothian, some of those guys. He also grew up in the South Dallas area, played youth sports with Jonte Cook, Malik Muhammad, Texas basketball signee Ron Holland at different points during growing up. Those kids all played in the same youth basketball leagues, rec leagues, what have you. So he's used to playing against big-time competition. Jonte Cook, Malik Muhammad were helpful in that recruitment when he visited the last weekend in January. And, yeah, he had a little fun with that. Add a little more salt to that national title game wound, I think, for TCU.
You know, Jerry, the competition on the 40 acres will be really special, I think, in football in this spring. And, you know, not only will this offensive line continue to grow, but the defensive line, the linebacker area, the wide receiver room, I think there'll be great competition at the running back. I mean, somebody's going to have to stand out at that running back position, or you're going to have a couple guys, you know, running back by committee, different types of players at different times. And I like that. I like that for this offense. I really do. But the one position I think that they've got to really set on is this wide receiver position. A new wide receiver coach will probably be a no-nonsense guy coming from the NFL that will get this thing set and get it set straight and get guys on the same page. Whether it be, I don't care which quarterback it is, but the wide receivers, I believe, are going to be able to do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those that aren't on Inside Texas, we put out yesterday, Savion Redd is moving to running back this spring.
Yeah, we talked about it.
He's getting some time at running back, which I think is very interesting because, look, he's a versatile guy. That can play running back, that played that quarterback athlete in high school, has a running back frame that played wide receiver. So I think that's a really good move. I really like that move. He has the toughness and physicality. I like that move for the spring. Yeah, I totally agree. I think Chris Jackson, I don't know if we talked that on this show, I think Chris Jackson is coming in like with perfect timing, honestly. Mm-hmm. He's coming in when Quinn Ewers is a second-year quarterback. Arch Manning's coming into the program. The offensive line, it all comes back, and a lot of those freshmen are going to be sophomores. I look for some of those kids to make huge jumps this spring. Neto, Cam Williams, DJ Campbell. It's perfect timing. And then you get to the wide receiver room, and you have Xavier Worthy, which this should be his best year. This is the year he wants to prove he can go be in the NFL draft. Jordan Whittington's a senior. Jatavion Sanders, a junior tight end. Then you have, you know, A.D. Mitchell, who wants to prove he's an NFL draft pick this year. Isaiah Nayor, see how he comes back, could be in the same boat. Then you have DeAndre Moore. You have Jontae Cook. You have Brennan Thompson, could be a sophomore. There's a lot. This room that he's coming into has more talent than last year, and it has more experience around it on the offensive line, quarterback, tight end, save, running back. But Chris Jackson's coming in at a great time, if you ask me, because he has a lot of talent in the room, and he's coming in a year where two or three of these guys want to prove they're ready to go to the NFL. And that is a perfect time for Chris Jackson to come into Texas.
He's Jerry Hamilton, Inside Texas on 3 Sports, the latest on the Longhorns' final commitment. And when I say that's the final, I'm pretty sure, is that right? 25 will be the number? I know they'll wait on Deuce Robinson, the tight end, but as far as that you're concerned, is that the end of the class?
I can't say that for sure. Look, I mean, Texas thinks they're in that. They continue to plug away at Deuce Robinson. I mean, and that means the conversations are still positive, and I'm sure Georgia's continues to be the slight favorite there. USC's still in it, but those three schools, none of them have walked away. They all think they have a chance. I think Texas will fight for Deuce Robinson until that April 1 deadline for this late signing period, if it goes on that long. But look, I can tell you there's some confidence on the Texas side. I'm not saying they're going to get him, because I think there's confidence on the Georgia side as well. The one thing I say to look forward to Deuce Robinson recruitment is if there's any chatter about that family leaving Phoenix and moving somewhere, that's going to be the big clue on where Deuce Robinson's going to end up. But the Texas football and baseball staff has done a really good job marrying that recruitment together, which I think is huge for Deuce in his mind, is who does a really good job of marrying together football and baseball staff, because he really is serious about baseball. He's really working towards the MLB draft. I'm not sure he's going to get drafted as high as maybe some of the people are thinking, because you got to have a lot of pop in that bat, a lot of power at his size, and I'm not sure he's there yet. But as far as a football prospect now, he's the top-ranked tight end in the country, and Texas is not giving up on that recruitment at all.
Wow. April 1st, the deadline. Last thing real quick, Jerry, your thoughts on this Texas basketball team. They got through that four-game gauntlet of top 10 teams at 2-2. They're a game clear in the Big 12. But obviously, for me, the ceiling of this team, they got to figure out Tyrese Hunter and how to get him playing more consistently. Monday night, again, on defense, he was a liability as well. They got to figure that out if they're going to reach the potential of this team, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. Tyrese's got to get healthy. Then he's got to play up to the level that he expects of himself and kind of Texas expects of him. And I don't think he would hide from that. He has not played as well this year as consistently, obviously, as Texas needs. And that's going to be huge. I mean, look, I think you're starting to see Dylan Mitchell respond to the physicality a little better of the Big 12, and that takes time. Texas needs Arterio Morris in spurts, but look, this is a senior-heavy guard-driven team, or experienced guard team, with Carr, Rice, and Hunter. And come NCAA tournament time, all three of those guys are going to have to play well. I think you know what you're going to get from Timmy Allen. I think you know what you're going to get from Bishop and Dylan right now. I think you're starting to see what you can get from Mitchell as he answers the physicality. But to your guys' point, Tyrese Hunter in its defensive end, and it's making a few more shots. You know, I like to see him shoot the ball more. I like to see him work his way out of this, but it's hard when you're playing road games. I would like to see him put up 15, 16 shots against West Virginia. He needs to work his way out of this. But what's going to be interesting about Tyrese Hunter's development, the more you've watched him, he's got to develop a floater. He is quick and he is explosive. He can get to the paint. But the next part of that, he's got to develop a floater. He's got to develop a go-to shot when he gets in the paint. I think that's going to be huge for his future.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Know you're busy. Going to Oak Ridge High School this morning, home of Joseph Osai back in the day. Enjoy that, and we look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys, have a good one. Yep.
Oak Ridge High. That's also the high school my wife graduated from. They're across the street from the Woodlands there on 45 in Houston, Oak Ridge. We'll come back when we do. Oh, man, your time to shine. Let's bring the blitz strong. 447-3776. We'll find out if our rookie producer, Jack Farrell, is ready to handle the blitz. His first time. We'll hit it, plus some gossip. We'll get to all of it. And Brian Billick and Tom Gimble in the next hour, a busy Wednesday on B&E.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip, brought to you by Bud Light, the official domestic beer partner of the Texas Longhorns, of the Texas OU game, and of the Texas X's. And if your Super Bowl party on Sunday, it has to be. Make sure it's loaded up and ready to go with the ice cold ones ready for Super Bowl Sunday, where, yes, they have sold out all of the $7 million 30-second commercials at Fox.
Oh, nothing left for the one I was going to have?
You're going to get one?
Oh,
for what, your deviled egg recipe?
Well, no, just from baked potato. How to bake a nice potato for Super Bowl Sunday.
So gross. I do think our friends Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light will have a few.
There you go.
Of those commercials.
Absolutely.
Always look forward to those. But sold out. I don't know if we were sold out on the State of the Union address last night. That was interesting, to say the least. And we also have this, Buck. You know, we talked about when LIV Golf came online, why it was such a threat to the PGA Tour and golf in general, and why it was different than other startup sports leagues. We now know the math. A report out says that LIV Golf spent over $1 billion last year coming online in player contracts, setup fees, you know, to set up the tournaments and the golf courses and everything. Spent over $1 billion and made $0.
Deep pockets. Endless amounts of money.
Oil wells of money.
Yes.
Yeah, spent over $1 billion and made virtually no money in their inaugural season.
Nothing like having that kind of company when you can do that for a lifetime,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, we'll do it again this year.
Yes. And so that's what the PGA Tour and golf in general is fighting against, because the pockets are endless.
Yes.
How about that?
Love it.
That is a poor return on a $1 billion investment. Nothing. Make nada. Zip. Zero. Well, now they have a TV network, though. At least they're on the CW.
Gee.
CW, I think, last night was where Isaiah Collier was calling the Westlake game with Roger Wallace.
There you go.
Now, where that was last night, Westlake beat Buta Johnson. Big win for Westlake. The Shaps got that win, 58-55. I thought Zay does a great job there with Roger. That's always fun.
He looks like he's having a great time, too.
Oh, he just knows his hoops and loves high school basketball.
As long as he doesn't sing, everything is good.
That's right. That is correct. All right, since we're going to get to Brian Billick at the top of the hour, let's go ahead and get to your blitz and knock that out.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
All right, go ahead, Buck.
All right, first blitzer, you're up.
All right, so you got Derek Carr up for Aaron Rodgers doing a retreat. And you got LeBron beating Jabbar for the scoring, all-time career scoring. There's a cornucopia of California douchebags.
Hey.
Cornucopia. Love it. Next blitzer, you're
LeBron
up.
LeBron is an Akron, Ohio douchebag, by the way. Be accurate.
This Lorenzo Kratt, Mr. Birthday Suit, wishing Mrs. Hogan a happy birthday.
There you go.
Thank
happy
you,
birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Oh, no.
Hey, button pusher. Quit messing up the bumper music.
Jeez.
They will not be nice.
Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
Yes.
Just let me know, man, if you need some sponsors for that doggone baked potato commercial,
okay.
Man. I got you.
All right.
Sponsors for the sponsors?
Sponsors, little bacon bits. Next blitzer, you're
gross.
Up.
LeBron, number one in scoring. Number four in assist. Been doing it 20 years. Go.
Oh, and he didn't get his daddy killed.
Oh, no. Next blitzer, you're up.
For rumor.
Coach.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell people it's a blitz? Don't take like 10 seconds to get to your point. Anyway, where's Tavo? Can you find him?
Yeah, where'd he go?
I don't know. You know, he takes his sabbatical every once in a while and disappears, you guys, for a year or two and make some of you happy, and some of you are disappointed.
Yeah, well, there we go. LeBron James is the new scoring king. But, you know, that's the way that goes. And this is my mother's birthday, too. Yes. As I said, they attended the same high school.
Nice. Okay.
Different years, different graduating classes, obviously, with LeBron and my mother. But, you know, That's the way that goes. We'll be back when we do. Excited. Our first Radio Row conversation live with Brian Billick, the Super Bowl winning head coach. His thoughts on this game. What makes the Eagles offense so difficult to handle with the RPO game and Jalen Hurts? And what are the Eagles and that great pass rush going to do with Patrick Mahomes? All coming here on B&E.